Gum, or Joe Roosevelt Avenue. This is TabilePod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Tatsminda, Tbilisi, the navel of the world. Today is Thursday, the 9th of June, 2016. On this date, in 68 AD, Roman Emperor Nero commits suicide. 1588, the Spanish Armada leaves Lisbon for its doomed attempt to invade England. 1815, the Vienna Congress concludes, and Europe has a new political order after the Napoleonic Wars. 1954, Joseph Welch famously asks U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy, "Have you no sense of decency, sir?" during Senate hearings. 1997, British authority over Hong Kong expires, a ceremony I watched on TV at a cafe on Perovskaya. Birthdays are Peter the Great, Natalie Portman, Cole Porter, Aaron Sorkin, and Les Paul. I'm your host, Mark Mullins. The podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. The European Parliament put visa liberalization proceedings on hold for Turkey, Ukraine, Kosovo, and Georgia. The next meeting of the EU's Justice and Home Affairs Council will be on the 10th of June. If visa liberalization isn't granted then, it'll be delayed till the Council's next scheduled meeting in October. European Parliament member Jacek Suwarski-Wolski said he doesn't expect them to discuss the issue again until October. He also accused Georgia of having a democratic deficit and said they are concerned about problems with political prisoners, persecution of the media, and pressure on the constitutional court. According to the EU diplomat speaking to Reuters, it was mainly Germany, with backing from France and Belgium, that was behind the visa liberalization delay, and that it is motivated in large part by Europe's refugee crisis. So, I mean, which is not exactly true. German politicians have also mentioned it's related to Georgians and crime in Germany, specifically burglary by Georgians, which is, of course, BS. I mean, not that there's not plenty of Georgian criminals around the EU, but, I mean, in this case, that was not a real thing. Some diplomats in Brussels, however, speculated the members of the European Parliament do not want to grant visa-free status to Georgia until after it will do the same for Ukraine. They don't want to stop the whole process. They just want to be a little more cautious. I mean, the main question about this seems to be as whether it is to try and get Ukraine and Georgia in together for fear that if they give it to Georgia that Ukraine will slow down, since the Russians care more about that, or if this whole thing is organized by Russia somehow, or if the national movement's efforts to prevent the visa-free regime through the European People's Party have somehow been successful. As a reminder, in March, the European Commission recommended that Georgia be exempted from visa requirements for the Schengen area. That recommendation must be approved by the Parliament and European Council. On the 7th of June, the President of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, tweeted support that Georgia should get visa-free travel with the Schengen area without delay, saying that Georgia has fulfilled all of its criteria, which it has. Next day, on the 8th of June, Germany, supported by France and Italy, said no to visa liberalization at the ambassador's meeting in Brussels. Former Otsneva lawmaker Tamás Mečiaoudi announced that he is founding a new political party, because that's what we need, called For a United Georgia. They plan to compete in the October elections. Until then, he will remain part of Otsneva's parliamentary coalition. The party will include composer Cemal Sepiashvili and former Deputy Foreign Minister Sandro Bregadze, who is a well-known goofball who's been floating around the peripheries of politics forever, formerly of the Revival or Agordzineva party, the pocket party of Aslan Abashidze of Ajada. As a reminder, over the past months, Mečiaoudi was publicly arguing and criticizing the Republican Party, which is part of the Otsneva coalition, and also criticizing Defense Minister Tiniko Hidashelli, saying she's unfit for her job as defense minister because she's a woman. He's also a vocal critic of Georgia's attempts to join NATO. I'm sure a lucrative opinion he holds. He often argues that it is harmful to Georgia's security because it provokes Russia. His anti-NATO stance has driven a wedge between himself and many Otsneva members, including Prime Minister Kvitikashvili. For a United Georgia, he has pledged to oppose Otsneva on foreign policy issues and in more political movements. The Alliance of Patriots formed an election bloc with five other parties that sort of kind of pretend to exist. Free Georgia, the Party of Freedom, the Union of Traditionalists, who are evidently still around, the New Democrats, whoever they are, and the Political Movement of Veterans and Patriots. The new anti-Western bloc will be called Patriots Alliance United Opposition. They said that they are open to consultation with other parties as well, except for the National Movement and the Republicans. On the 6th of June, Russian soldiers installed a new border signs in the village of Avlevi on the Georgian side of the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. This moves the border deeper into Georgian territory. It cuts off some residents of Avlevi from accessing their agricultural lands. President Mark Balashvili issued a decree to formally designate the 8th of October as the date of the parliamentary elections. There will also be elections for the Supreme Council of Ajada. A presidential decree was then posted on the state online registry of legal acts on the 8th of June after it was countersigned by the prime minister. By enacting the decree, it means that the electoral campaign period is formally launched as of the 8th of June. According to the election code, it implies that a range of electoral regulations are enacted, among them tightening the use of administrative resources, which means slathering around government money in order to get the government party elected. The Tbilisi Jam Fest Hard Rock Music Festival was disrupted on Saturday, the 4th of June, by local clergy. It was taking place at the Zahesi settlement in city outskirts. A nun from a local convent came up and asked them to stop the event, saying it was close to a cemetery and it wasn't right to have a musical festival there. Shortly afterwards, the electricity for the concert was shut off. Then a priest came from the nearby Apchala Queen Martyr Kedavan Church and also demanding that the festival stop. The event organizers and concert goers believe it was a clergy who shut off the electricity. EnergoPro Georgia, the electricity supplier, says that the blackout was caused by a damaged cable. The event was later officially denounced by the Patriarch. Following up on the Lari, the National Bank bought $40 million at a foreign currency auction on the 8th of June. The Lari continues to strengthen against the dollar. It was trading at 2.1282 per dollar on the evening of the 8th of June. The central bank has now bought a total of $235 million in 12 different purchasing interventions since mid-March. After the Lari started depreciating in November 2014, the National Bank has sold close to $287 million in 9 interventions in 2015 in order to support the Lari. Geostat reported that the annual inflation rate during the month of May was 2.1%, which is well below Georgia's targeted inflation rate for 2016 of 5%. Following up on Rustaviori, on the 7th of June, the Tbilisi Court of Appeals concluded the last of 7 scheduled hearings with regards to the Rustaviori ownership dispute. The court said they will issue their decision on Friday, and of course they will try to take Rustaviori from Gvaramia in that decision. The ruling can also be appealed. The final decision on the ownership dispute is up to the Supreme Court. As a reminder, in November 2015, Tbilisi City Court ruled in favor of plaintiff Kibar Khalvashi, who claimed to be the rightful owner of Rustaviori. He was part owner until 2016, when he claims the National Movement threatened him into giving up his shares in the company. The ruling meant that the station would be transferred from its current ownership back to Khalvashi. The station's current owners appealed the ruling. The case still hasn't been resolved. Russia's state-controlled power trader, Interral, said that on the 2nd of June that it sold its thermal power assets to Georgia to a consortium of international investors for an undisclosed price. That the Georgian Industrial Group, or GIG, said that its affiliated company is a member of the consortium which bought Tkvari Energy from Interral. The assets were then sold to include 2 gas-fired thermal power units with the installed capacity of 300 megawatts located in Gardabani. GIG said that it plans to operate the assets and implement strategic projects with its business partners from China. As a note, Interal also holds 75% shares in Telasi, the electricity distributor in Tbilisi. The rest of the shares are held by the partnership fund. And Interal owns 2 hydropower plants in Georgia, Khrami 1 and Khrami 2. President Mark Balashvili is in Strasbourg and Brussels this week, meeting with EU and NATO officials, including the Secretary General of the Council of Europe, the President of the European Parliament, NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg, President of the European Council Donald Tusk, EU Commissioner for European Neighborhood Policy Johannes Hahn. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli is in Afghanistan visiting the Georgian troops serving at the NATO Resolute Support Mission. During her visit, they unveiled in Kabul a memorial to the Georgian soldiers who died while serving in Afghanistan. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzubashvili is on a three-day visit to Germany this week to discuss visa liberalization and the NATO summit. Chinese Vice Premier Zhang Gaoli was in Tbilisi last week to discuss trade. During his visit, China pledged to provide $9 million in aid to Georgia in order to improve medical infrastructure in the country's regions. The vegan Kiwi Cafe says that they are, you'll remember the meat chuckers of a week or two ago, says they are looking into moving out of their old Tbilisi location because of hostility from neighbors. I was there the other day, and it is true that neighbors seemed a bit snarky. In Bizina News, he gave an interview to Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Georgian service on the 3rd of June. He expressed his view that Georgia must eventually join both NATO and the European Union, but also suggested that Russia does have veto power over Georgia's accession to NATO, something that Western officials have vehemently denied, but is in fact true. He said that Georgia must wait until Russia realizes that the time is right for Georgia to join NATO and the EU, although it would be nice if NATO and the EU would just not give Russia veto power. Until then, it's really NATO that gives them veto power. Until then, Georgians must, and I quote, patiently wait. Bidzina gave a separate interview on Georgian television on the 7th of June, where he predicted that the Otsneva party will win roughly 95 out of 150 possible seats in the parliamentary election. He reiterated his plans to actively campaign on behalf of Otsneva, and he alleged that the violence outside the polling station in Kortskeli in May against national movement leaders was a provocation planned and carried out by the national movement, by which, if you mean a provocation, is when the national movement leaders show up at a rally. Education Minister Tamar Sanakidze was fired from her post on the 3rd of June. She's replaced by Alexander Janjelava, who was previously chairman of the nonprofit Management Academy. Nobody seems to know why she was let go. On the 2nd of June, the Defense Ministry fired a soldier who participated in the violence near Zugdidi in the by-elections on the 22nd of May. The governor of Odessa, in an archetypal Misha move, has for the time being moved his office to a tent on the roadside of the Odessa-Reni Highway. He says he will work from there until the construction of the highway is completed. Although he's not the kind of guy that hangs around in the office, but, you know, excellent gesture. Let's see if it works. Following up on previous stories, on the 6th of June, Prime Minister Kvitakashvili issued a statement demanding the immediate arrest of Rashid Kanjioğlu, the Abkhaz border guard who shot and killed Giga Otkhozoria on the Georgian side of the administrative boundary line in May. Prime Minister Kvitakashvili also said that if Abkhazia fails to prosecute Kanjioğlu, it would make it increasingly difficult for the two sides to continue with the incident prevention and response mechanism meeting, and that it would complicate the Geneva talks and confidence-building efforts in general. The Abkhaz authorities have announced that they would file murder charges against Kanjioğlu, and that there's no indication that he has been arrested yet. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, has talked about deploying 28 long-term and 350 short-term observers for the October election. The OSCE's democracy and rights arm, ODIHR, has sent a three-member needs assessment mission to Georgia in late April. Upon Georgia's request, according to the needs assessment mission report, all three requested a robust and lengthy observation mission. They said they were There were concerns regarding how the election campaign is conducted, about pressure on consultants, on voters, and potential misuse of administrative resources. NDI will also have a group around as well. Georgia has reached a free trade agreement with the European Free Trade Association, which includes Norway, Switzerland, Iceland, and Liechtenstein. The agreement will be formally signed on the 27th of June. It will allow Georgia to export its goods to those countries free of customs fees. UN General Assembly adopted a resolution sponsored by the Georgian government that affirms the right of all IDPs and refugees to return to their homes in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The non-binding resolution was passed with 76 votes for, 15 against, 64 abstentions, making it 8 years in a row that this resolution has been passed. Georgia sponsors the resolution every year in order to keep the issue fresh in the international agenda. Good job, Elena Khladze of the Foreign Ministry, who organized that. On the 2nd of June, the German Bundestag passed a resolution recognizing atrocities committed by the Ottoman Empire against the Armenians as genocide, which it was. The resolution also recognized that Germany bears some guilt for the atrocities. Abkhazia will hold a referendum on the 10th of July to decide on whether to hold an early presidential election. The opposition in Abkhazia had filed a petition with the Central Election Commission requesting to hold a referendum about 3 months earlier. The Prime Minister's special envoy for Russian relations, Zura Bashidze, reported that three Georgian citizens that were held on spying charges in Russia have been released and are back with their families. A fourth Georgian held on similar charges could be released later this month. Council of Europe's anti-trafficking expert group, known as GRETA, released its second evaluation report for Georgia. They find that Georgia has made significant progress in reducing human trafficking since 2012. The report also urged the authorities to take further steps towards quickly identifying victims of trafficking. State military firm Delta signed a $32 million agreement to sell combat modules or vehicle-mounted gun systems to the UAE. The deal was finalized in March, but was only announced at the end of May. A 36-year-old woman was shot by her husband outside a hotel where she worked in the Isani neighborhood of Tbilisi. She died in the hospital from her wounds. The man fled the scene. He was arrested the next day. These cases of men killing wives and ex-wives are much discussed, seem to happen often. At the same time, the police do not deal with, in any useful way, cases of women, particularly wives and ex-wives, being harassed by husbands and ex-husbands. Ministry of Justice opened a crime prevention center in Tbilisi. The center will provide free services to former inmates, including legal consultants, appointments with psychologists and social workers, and job skills training. The center is part of the Former Prisoners Rehabilitation and Resocializing Program, which was launched by the ministry in 2012. A team of investigators from the Ministry of Defense went to the Central African Republic to make an inquiry into allegations of child sexual abuse stemming from 2014 involving Georgian peacekeeping troops. Works by artists Niko Pirosmani and Lado Gudiashvili are on auction at Sotheby's in London. Pirosmani's Roe Deer Drinking from a Stream sold for £629,000. The Portrait of Pirosmani by Gudiashvili sold for £75,000. It was later revealed that Bidzina was the one who bought the Pirosmani painting, which is close to $1 million. Following up on the Conifa World Cup games in Abkhazia, that Abkhazia hosted, which was nicknamed the World Cup of Unrecognized States, Abkhazia won the tournament on the 6th of June when it defeated Punjab. 38 Georgian athletes have qualified to compete in the Summer Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. This is the largest number of athletes competing for Georgia at the Olympics in Georgia's history. Batumi is hosting the 8th Environment for Europe Ministerial Conference from the 8th to the 10th of June. It's organized by the UN Environment Program. National Wine Agency reported that Georgia exported more than 15 million bottles of wine during the first 5 months of 2016, which is a 44% increase from the same time period last year. The largest consumers of Georgian wine are Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, China, and Poland. China's Haoling Group opened a 2 million lari hospital near Tbilisi Sea. A modern hotel complex is set to open on Bazaleti Lake. It's being built by a local company, Best Group. 32-year-old Ukrainian journalist Pavel Sivokoni died while climbing Kazbegi. He fell into a ravine. There is a Georgian-Kazakhstan business forum in Tbilisi this week, organized by Forbes Georgia and Forbes Kazakhstan. Head of the Tribuli and Zestaponi police departments were dismissed in relation to a conflict that was in Oni, Racha, back in May. Justice Ministry opened the 17th Justice House in Borjomi. Georgian media mogul Zurab Chigogidze has acquired the rights to the classic 1977 Soviet comedy film Mimi No. He plans to produce a sequel, which will be released in 2017. Maroon 5 performed a live show at Miracle Square in Batumi on the 7th of June in front of roughly 35,000 fans. The concert was part of Check In Georgia, a 29 million lari initiative funded by the government. It was also part of Keep Batumi, by which there will be international music performances throughout the summer. Sophia Loren is coming to Tbilisi in June in support of a charity ballet organized by the Desire Tree Charity Fund, which raises money for surgeries for children with serious illnesses. The charity was established by Georgian opera singer Nino Sorguladze. The orchestra for the ballet will be led by conductor Carlo Ponti, who happens to be Sophia Loren's son. Sandro Laliashvili, a 20-year-old graphic designer from Dushetti, won the Cannes Lion Golden Award in the design category. Cannes Lion is an annual festival for creative professionals. Parliament passed a revised version of the Constitutional Court bill on the 3rd of June. The revised version was submitted after President Margvelashvili vetoed the original bill a few days earlier. The original bill was criticized by the Venice Commission of the Council of Europe, which argued that raising the quorum of the Constitutional Court to be able to make rulings would paralyze the court. The bill also was criticized by Transparency International, several other NGOs. Under the revised bill, the quorum will raise from a simple majority to a two-thirds majority, though only in cases relating to Georgia's organic laws and certain other cases. In situations where the increased quorum applies, the Constitutional Court will only be able to make decisions when it has the support of six judges. This will apply whether the number of sitting judges is seven or nine. What's more, at least seven of the Constitutional Court's nine judges must be present in order for a ruling to be made. Currently, that number is six. This was a compromise worked out between Otsneva lawmaker and President Margvelashvili after he vetoed the original bill. In addition, the revised bill will not limit the power of judges during the last 3 months of their term, something that was included in the original version of the bill. However, some of the opponents of the revised bill, including GILA and the Coalition for Independent and Transparent Judiciary, argue that it still doesn't conform to the Venice Commission's recommendations, noting especially that the higher quorum still applies to cases involving organic law. This whole thing is done to weaken the Constitutional Court that the government does not control by making it so that a walkout will be able to prevent decisions that could be to the disadvantage of the government. So a negotiation between the two sides is a little ridiculous, since the whole point of the thing is to weaken the Constitutional Court. During the session on the 3rd of June, Parliament again delayed voting on the confirmation of the three Supreme Court judge candidates that were nominated by President Margvelashvili. They are Ani Dolidze, who's currently the Deputy Defense Minister, Tamar Laliashvili, and Nona Todua. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili explained that the vote was postponed upon the request of Otsneva lawmakers, who said they need to have more consultations among themselves regarding the candidates. Following up on the proposed femicide bill, Parliament's Human Rights Committee rejected the proposal. It would have taken seven votes for the committee to approve the staff. Only three voted for it. Clergy from the GOC attended the session and strongly criticized the proposal. As a reminder, the bill was introduced by Otsneva lawmakers Tamar Kordzaya and Tamar Khidashely. They want to amend the criminal code to set punishment for femicide as a particularly severe crime. The meme this week is a video going viral on Facebook that Maroon 5 posted. They are in Georgia and were treated to some traditional polyphonic singing, and they liked it a bunch. Stuff to read. An ISET economist analyzed the European Parliament's decision to delay making a decision on visa liberalization for Georgia, Ukraine, Turkey, and Kosovo. The Women's Initiative Supporting Group provides a detailed report on attitudes towards the LGBT community in Georgia. The report was prepared within the framework of the EU-funded Project Solidarity Network for LGBTI in Armenia and Georgia. They find that a slim majority of Georgians thinks that LGBTI rights groups should be protected by the state, but that 80% of Georgians believe that LGBTI rallies should be banned. Christian Science Monitor explores a complicated relationship between Abkhazia and Russia. Chaihana looks at relics of Kutaisi's 90s-era organized crime network. Lincoln Mitchell's Georgia analysis discusses recent incidents at the Kiwi Cafe and Tbilisi Jam Fest. Hans Goodbrot and William Dunbar discuss projections for the outcome of the parliamentary elections. Their crowdsourced guesses seem more or less right to me. Georgia, I don't think Borjanadze will make it in, but, you know, anyway. The Guardian interviews novelist Chris Morgan Jones about his travels to Georgia, which is the setting of his latest spy novel, The Searcher. Tom Duvall writes in Foreign Affairs about Germany's recognition of the Armenian Genocide. The Economist explains the CONEIFA World Cup and the various separate states competing in it. Paul Rimpel writes in the Beacon Reader about eating lunch with Anthony Bourdain at the Gabriadze Cafe. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is one. That is how many goals scored by Georgia's national football team to pull off a stunning 1-0 victory against Spain in a friendly match in Getafe in Madrid on the 7th of June. The winning goal was scored by Tornike Okuriashvili off a pass from Jabba Jigauri. Georgia broke Spain's 11-game unbeaten streak. They had just lost to the Netherlands in March 2015. They had last lost to the Netherlands in March 2015. There's an exhibition at Carvasla Tbilisi History Museum by Bulgarian paper artist Daniela Todorova. The paper sculptures that reflect ancient civilizations. It's on until the 15th of June. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, by the way, one of the world's top low-budget videos of all time, from 1914 by everybody's favorite Berlin-Toronto hip-hop Nizza. This is Isis Salaam and Let It Go. What you doing? Took I paid and I'm hungry for the weekend. Funky fresh and dressed to impress. Test launch on a bust through your chest. A new night, a new goal, a new hope. City lights to blow through your nose hole. Need to drop the soul to get the soul right. A new way to come by some insight. Laying low on the track like a B-side. Play it back cause I'm spinning for a rewind. Work a piece, wanna get with this behind. Call me honey cause you sticking to my beehive. I hit the flow and I let it go. Say I, when I hit the flow, I let it go, say I, when I hit the flow. I let it go, say I, when I hit the flow. I let it go, say I, when I hit the flow. I let it go, say I, when I hit the flow. I let it go. Shimmy, 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 yam. Ass so fat, you can see it from the jam. You know who I am. Give five blood and a damn thing came. You could do much better. I could do with more fucking cheddar. Keep on pumping when I make these tracks. Coming cause my face so fast. Gonna shake cause I'm still so high. Yeah, it's dark but I don't give a little beef, but I'm standing on a mountain. Big ass balls, motherfucker, say something. Cause then I hit the flow, I let it go. Cause then I hit the flow, wanna get with this behind. Call me honey cause you're sticking to my behind.